When I first got word that I would be covering an interview with William Shakespeare for Kenmore West newspaper, The Chronicle, I was really excited, but then really confused. Shakespeare was dead. How was I supposed to interview a man who died nearly 600 years ago? No worries, I thought to myself, I'm resourceful. I immediately got to work resurrecting the memory of a man who had become such a staple in modern English class. I met the man, the myth, the poet, and asked him the questions millions have been wanting to ask for hundreds of years. It is an honor to finally meet you, Mr. Shakespeare.
Truly, you might call me Will.
Okay then, Will. Have you had a chance to see any of the sights since you've been back among the living?
I did great joys in the fanciful land of Disney. I look forward to seeing more of the new world I have been brought back to. Day-to-day life is very different in the 21st century.
What was your life like as a child?
I grew up in Warwickshire, England, in the 16th century. There was little life outside of school, I dare say. We were bound to attend 6 days a week and all months of the year.
Did you take any creative writing classes?
Heavens no! We studied Latin. Our gracious Queen Elizabeth spoke Latin, and it was considered to be a very embodiment of culture. School was not for art, but for speech.
Well, surely that was where you first found a fondness for words.
You are very wise, and your appliance of alliteration amuses me. Amateur though it may be, yes, language was always been my greatest intriguer. I constantly had to meld words into phrases, into actions, so that the actor lived them for all you see and hopefully applaud.
Everyone calls you the Bard of Avon. What's a bard anyway?
What's in a name? It means poet or master storyteller. Am I not that? I am, of course, not a bard. I'm the bard.
What would you say to the student who has trouble reading your plays? You have to admit, they can be difficult to understand.
My plays were never intended to just read. In my time, all my works were written strictly for the stage. Though I can see how a student in your modern world might have considerable difficulty with the language, a simple solution would have been to have a student see one of my plays performed, or watch one of these new things called films that are already in video form. If youth's eyes see my words come alive before them, then there lies a deeper meaning to the thou and the thy, and hence, and truly understand the meaning of my plays can really relate to the lives in the modern day.
Tell us about your beloved Globe Theater.
The Globe. My playing company built the Globe in 1598. We played there many happy audiences and many pleasant afternoons. In 1613, we were performed Henry the VIII. In the most dramatic scene, we fired a cannon, and the theater shook. Alas, the blaze also caught a roof of fire, and the theater turned to ash, unfortunately. We rebuilt the Globe in under a year. I hear there now exists in its place a modern and faithful reconstruction.
Henry VIII, yes. Thank you so much for your time, Will. Do you have any last thoughts to share with our readers?
It has been a pleasure speaking to you, I must say. I never in a million years would have thought the pieces I created would have gotten so much attention as they have. I still can't believe that in the year 2009, students are still reading my work. That I really make everything I did worthwhile. As they question reading my work, I pose a question to them. If my writings were that good, then why would they still be printed, produced, and taught in schools over 400 years after they were written? Please, read some of my plays, and hopefully one day you can let me know your thoughts about my creations.